Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Are you ready, Rob?
Let's do this thing. Let's do it.
Oh yeah. Here we go.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Time is now, yeah. What time is it? The time is now. You are officially talking sports with the 12th man. We're not taking no stuff. We're getting no penalties. It's what we're doing today. Of course, it's Monday, August the 25th. You are officially talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, as always, Mr. Robert Ford. We're ready to kick this off. Without further ado, I always want to check in with my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you doing today, sir?
Doing great, man. Doing great. This has been an awesome day. Ready to talk some sports. Let's get it started in here. What's going on, Doc?
It's good, man. You kind of look. It's okay to get excited, man. It's okay to kind of let it out, man. You yell if you have to, man. You know, we'll have some fun, man. Anyway, let's get to, as Robert said, we have a lot of topics to discuss. So, without further ado, I'm going to set the stage here. I'd love to give the numbers out if you want to call into the show. All that fun stuff, you want to reach out to us, the easiest way to do so, it's we've got our call-in number, which is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Also, we are available via Facebook and on Twitter. If you want to follow us via Twitter, just go to the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then finally, we are also available via Facebook. I know, Rob, I'm setting the stage here. You can reach out to us. Go to facebook.com/12thmansports. If you put in Talking Sports 12th Man, you will find us. Woo! Is that enough, Rob?
Oh, man, that's a lot.
I feel like I'm going to talk a lot. But anyway, let's go ahead and get this party started. So, man, we are ready to have a special Monday night edition here. And if you haven't, we're going to definitely talk about a lot of stuff within the NFL. And Rob on the street is that Richie Incognito was actually visiting the Bucks, and obviously we know what's been happening with him last year with the Dolphins and everything. And I guess the question is, this can actually happen pretty quickly. Do you think this is actually a good fit for the Bucks, or just a kind of a sign where a kind of desperation here needing offensive line help, Rob?
Well, I think it's a combination of both here. I mean, even with all of his antics, Richie Incognito is a heck of a football player. Has been one of the better offensive guards in the league for quite some time. And obviously the Buccaneers have a huge need at the position with Carl Nick's premature retirement with the injury there. So obviously this is a guy the Bucs were counting on for quite some time. We paid him a huge boatload amount of money a couple of years ago when they signed him off the New Orleans Saints roster. And so this is obviously a need position for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I don't think they're going to sign him before the season starts. I think what's going to happen is they're going to wait till week one is over. And then if you sign a player after week one, their contract is not guaranteed for the season. So I think the Bucs are still going to try to play it smart. They're going to try to get by week one without him. After week one, I think they're going to look at signing him.
Good stuff, Rob. I agree with you. It's kind of an interesting scenario. Definitely does kind of show the desperation for the Bucks, and we'll keep an eye on that situation as always. Because, like you said, in spite of all his antics, Robbie is a pretty talented player. You hope that he's learned his lesson and that he doesn't, continue on that, and he's kind of rehabbed from what happened last year for sure. Let's keep it moving here. Let's talk a little bit about some fantasy football updates, man. We got a lot of fantasy drafts. Once again, want to thank everybody for joining us. We've got a lot of full leagues, as Rob said over the previous show. We had to expand to a second league. We've got two free leagues and one paid league. So, Rob, you want to kind of give us a quick update as far as fantasy football?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, our first free league is going to be, our draft for that league is going to be tomorrow night. It's going to be at 9 Eastern. That's going to be at 8 Central Time and 7 Mountain Time for our players. We certainly appreciate everyone that has signed up and play. And I'm already getting a little trash talk from one of our competitors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're going to give her a shout-out, Crystal Bell. She's saying we're going down. Yeah, she's already talking some trash. She says we're going down in our own fantasy football league. And I think her team name was Eagles Chick for Life. And she's already talking trash, saying we're going down. And so we got to make sure she goes down in the league. So we'll give her a quick shout-out. But she's going down in our fantasy football league. Also, we got another free league. League number 2, that draft is going to be Wednesday night. That's going to be at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, and 6:30 for our players in the Mountain Time Zone as well. And then, of course, we got a paid league. We're going to draft on Sunday, 1:30 Eastern. I'm sorry, I believe that, yes, it is 1:30 Eastern, 12:30 Central, and 11:30 Mountain. So, obviously, 12-man sports is growing. Last year we had 2 leagues. This year we have 3. So we certainly appreciate all of our competitors from around the country. Look forward to competing with you all.
I will certainly love the fantasy option. This is one time where we get a chance to, just for the season, all my ladies out there, we know you're kind of fantasy football widows, but this is the one time to let us live out our fantasy to act like we actually know what we're doing. So we enjoy this time of the year. In addition to just enjoying football and college and everything like that, too, it's a fun time. But yeah, we appreciate the competition and Eagles grow. Yeah, you got a target. So you know, we're definitely looking forward to the competition as well as everyone else. So we love the trash talk. It's all in good fun, and it keeps us engaged too. So thank you for that. And we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll probably talk about that next week, Rob, as far as how we think we did in the draft and some little things like that too. So we'll keep an eye on that situation as well. Let's talk about some NFL news now. And I feel like, Rob, this is kind of a broken record here. We were talking about Manziel and kind of what's been happening, that the Browns picked Hoyer over Manziel. And I guess the situation happened again in that the Vikings picked Matt Castle over Teddy Bridgewater. And is this kind of a similar situation, Rob, or is it slightly different? What are your thoughts about this particular move that the Vikings have decided to make?
I think this is also still the right decision. Like I said, I think the only rookie that's ready to start right now is Blake Bortles, and I'm not even sure Jacksonville is going to give him the opportunity to start. But I think it's just a smart. I think Bridgewater is closer than Manziel. He's definitely more mature than Manziel. So I would definitely think he's a little bit closer to being that starting quarterback for the Vikings. But if you look at these preseason games and you evaluate the film, Cassell, Matt Castle has been the better quarterback for the Vikings so far in preseason. So I think he's a little bit more mature. He's a veteran. I think he gives them the best opportunity to win at this current time. So I think the Vikings made the right decision. Let's see if we can develop Teddy Bridgewater a little bit more. But like I said, I think he's a lot closer to Manziel.
Yeah, that's a good call, Rob, too. This is a situation where I think the Vikings may be protecting Teddy Bridgewater. And, you know, for the past couple of years, the Vikings were always known for being kind of like making a lot of baffling moves. And I think they've made a lot of great moves, not only moving up to get, you know, Adrian Peterson, and also moving up once again to surprise the world, because I'm guaranteeing you, Rob, Houston thought that they were going to circle back around and get Teddy Bridgewater. But the Vikings came out of nowhere, scooped him up, and they may have gotten the quarterback for the future in the second round. So great move. You know, Castle's been playing well. They don't have to rush Teddy Bridgewater, Rob. And right whenever there's a certain time, you know, maybe let Castle finish out the year. Don't mess up Teddy's confidence. He's been playing well. And I think this is a great opportunity for him to kind of either maybe near the end of the year or going into next year, he's going to be their quarterback. And I think it's a great move. And I think it's, like you talked about, a great scenario for them to kind of keep him and kind of move him right along, kind of belt him, if you will, in that instance.
Yeah, absolutely. This Vikings team is not winning a Super Bowl with Matt Castle at the quarterback position. Let's not get it twisted. But I think he still gives them a veteran presence that can possibly keep them in some ball games, and they can help them, Teddy Bridgewater, to learn a little bit. And there's still a chance by maybe week four or later that they can turn to Bridgewater, but I think starting the season, Matt Castle is the guy they should go with.
Good job, good job. If you haven't heard, devastating news in that Sam Bradford has torn his ACL, the same one he tore the year before, missed the last, I want to say Robbie missed like either 6 or 9 games, if I'm not mistaken, and now it looks like he's going to go into the season. This is a pretty devastating blow. I'm going to go on the limb, Rob, and say I think his career is probably over, definitely as an NFL player. He's got a nice paycheck, so nobody's crying for him, but I guess the question is who's going to kind of fill in the gap, because is Sean Hill the answer? You've got a lot of people, you know, you've mentioned David Garrard. That's an interesting name. You know, I don't think Matt butt-fumbled Mark Sanchez has taken a thing and said, I don't want anything to do with that. I'd like to stay here with the Eagles. What do you think about the scenario, Rob? Are there options? Do you think they're going to go into the season with Sean Hill as their starter? And what's going to happen with the Rams? This is an interesting scenario for sure, sir.
Well, I think if you're Jeff Fisher, I think you got to be looking around the league and see what kind of trade offers they can offer some backup quarterbacks that have potential to be starters in this league. And so I think you're searching everyone's roster. You're evaluating film of every quarterback that's a backup in this league at this time that can possibly come in. I don't think Sean Hill is the answer. So I think you got to look around and see what's available out there to you. I think you have to put in a phone call to the Eagles, see what, you know, Mark Sanchez possibly can do. And I'll even, you know, if I'm actually the Rams, I would even put a phone call to the Saints and talk to them about Luke McCown as far as being a possible player that could possibly come in and help them in a pinch. So there are definitely some quarterbacks out there that can possibly help them. I think you can get on the phone with the Jets and see what Michael Vick's availability is as well. These are guys that I think are all better than Sean Hill. And, you know, none of those guys are going to lead the Rams to the Super Bowl, but definitely will be a lot more competitive with them at the quarterback position than Sean Hill. And getting back to Sam Bradford, obviously I think his career with the Rams is definitely done. Obviously I think the Rams are going to be in a situation where they're going to be looking for another quarterback in this upcoming draft that could be a franchise player for him. But I'm going to say he's not going to give up on his career just yet. I think he may try to bounce back in the league and see if he can be a backup or a clipboard holder, something along those lines, to see if he can prolong his career.
Wow, so that's where we're slightly different in our opinion, Rob. I'm not saying that he doesn't have the will, but I just think it's just going to be tough, man. He's looking at a 6 to 9 month rehab period. You know, right now he's going to have to prove a lot to a team to come back. I mean, like I said, I just think it's going to be tough for him to come back. Not to say he doesn't have the will, but he's got enough money at this juncture, and you know, I don't know. He may decide to hang up the cleats, but.
So you're trying to say he doesn't have the willpower of Tyler Hansbrough?
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. That's exactly what I'm saying. You can put that on record. You've heard me say that, too. I'm going to tell you, Rob, it's interesting, too. Do you think that this is kind of a panic move for the Rams making going out and doing this? Because I'm pretty sure that in the back of their minds, they had a contingency plan just in case Sam Bradford didn't finish the season. So they had opportunity, Rob, to sign a Mark Sanchez. They didn't. They had an opportunity to kind of make some moves. They didn't. I know earlier in the draft, we thought that they were going to pick a quarterback. We said, hey, you know, the Rams are right in that scenario. They could have picked a quarterback. Hindsight of 2020, of course. But is it like a panic move right now? I mean, with all these, you know, talking about making calls and stuff like that, I mean, I'm sure people are going to drive up the price now that they know that that you're in the market. So is it good? Is this kind of a panic situation, or they're just kind of like hold steady and keep the course and kind of, you know, just let Sean Hill kind of hold the course, you know, for now?
Well, I mean, I personally don't think Sean Hill is the answer, and I don't think the Rams do either. Obviously, they're weighing all the options. We talked about David Garrard. I think this is a guy – was a quality starting quarterback in the league. I don't think has played in the last couple of years. Now, David Girard has personally put out a letter to the Rams and say, give me a call.
Wow.
And I think he's a guy at least worth taking a look at, bringing him in for a workout. I can see, you know, see if he can come in and help you here. So definitely I think he's a guy you would want to at least put in a phone call, bring him in for a workout. I just mentioned some other guys that you can possibly, you know, look at as well. I think you can even look into a guy like Matt Hasselbeck, who's a backup for the Indianapolis Colts. You know, see if you can get him for a 6-7 round draft pick, something like that. I think he would be another guy that you can possibly look at and see if he can come in and help you as well. I think you got Ryan Mallett, New England. He's another guy you may want to get on the phone and talk to as well. So there's some guys out there that I think that could possibly still help them a little bit better than Sean Hill can.
I actually heard the rumors about Ryan Mallett being a definite possibility as well, too. So we'll keep that in mind. I actually put my name in the hat, too, Rob. So, you know, good news. They're going to call me, and hopefully we'll get a chance to make some moves as well, too, there. So it's very exciting times for me.
Yeah, they obviously need a high-quality H2O specialist if they're calling you. Yeah, that's about all they're going to get.
Here we go.
Somebody wants a 5'3" quarterback.
Dude, man, I'm 5'9". Thank you. Hey, let's talk a little bit more about.
I don't care who tells.
We always have some fun here. What's up with the Cardinals cutting Jay Feely, right? What do you think about that?
Well, obviously, it's a kicker probably on the downturn of his career. He wanted a bigger name cut. Obviously, teams have to cut down their roster to 75 by tomorrow. And so, obviously, his case here, one of the bigger name cuts. Not too many big names are getting cut at the moment. But he was one of the bigger names that got cut today. Obviously, the Rams is looking to go. I'm sorry, not the Rams. Arizona Cardinals looking to go in a different direction at the kicker position. Obviously, you know Jay Feely from his time with the Falcons. But obviously, this is a time where the Cardinals are just looking to go in another direction or maybe go younger here at the kicker position.
Sometimes it happens, you know, and kickers, once you lose it, man. So it's kind of a sad name that they cut him. But, you know, that's kind of par for the course, too. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. We're kind of at a halfway point in the show. I do want to throw out the numbers once again, 424-243-95 is at number two. So we're going to keep it moving like we always do. And another name that you're hearing, Rob, is the Redskins. I know they're having controversy stuff with their name, and that's a whole other thing we have to talk about on another show. But there's been a lot of feedback as far as RG3 and Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins has been playing lights out in the preseason. RG3 is actually struggling a little bit. And that's the question, Rob. Do you think, Joe Theismann has actually come out and said that Kirk Cousins should be starting? So what's your thoughts about this? And the question is, what's wrong with RG3? Is he not picking up the offense? Is he hurt? What are your thoughts about RG3?
Well, we haven't even talked about Kirk Cousins, but this is another guy that Rams should be probably getting on the phone and talking to as well if you're the Rams. Now, here's the deal with the Kirk Cousins and RG3 situation. I think it's starting to become a valid question. Whereas last year, the year before last, you know, the Redskins, this was obviously RG3 was their franchise quarterback. But now I think it's become a very valid question about who the best quarterback is on this team. I think if you're the Washington Redskins, you still go into the season starting RG3. You give him an opportunity to get that magic back he had a couple of years ago. But I say game three or four, if he is not playing up to par, I say you give Kirk Cousins every opportunity to take that team over. And I think he's shown enough and to get that opportunity, for the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting, Rob. I agree with you because I would be remiss if I said, I mean, I'm an RG3 fan, but I just don't know what's happening. It seems like lack of confidence. He's just not grasping the offense. And what made him dynamic is actually becoming his downfall, sir. I'm sure he's definitely more of a mobile guy, and he's trying to become that pocket passer. I think he can become that, but right now he's just not really jiving with that offense. So, you know, I don't know what the correct you know, answer is right now, but clearly RG3 has got to he's got to do a lot better. And right now you're looking at Kirk Cousins. He's been able to step in. Like you talked about, I don't think the Redskins want to let him go, but what are you going to do? Are you going to eventually you're going to have to make a decision pretty soon. So we'll keep an eye on that for sure. I don't know if you want to say anything else as far as that, sir.
Well, like I said, it's going to be, I think it's definitely a situation to monitor in Washington. And I think it's, like I said, it's definitely becoming a very valid question at the moment.
Mm. All right, let's keep it going here. I do want to talk real quickly about Zach Mettenberger versus Charlie Waters before we talk about the Raiders. But I had an opportunity to watch Zach versus the Falcons last week, and he talked about – I was pretty impressed with him, Rob. He's got a live arm, and he seems to put the ball right there. The guys can't help but catch the ball because he puts it right there. I don't know what's happening. You know, Charlie Whitehurst has a lot of experience, but I don't think he has the same type of form. So there's been some rumblings, Rob, that Zach may also be pushing Jake Locker. What are your thoughts on this as well?
Well, I don't think he's pushing Jake Locker just yet. I think Locker has performed very
I'm hearing it.
In the playoffs. I think Ken Whisenhunt likes his mobility to get out of the pocket and make plays as well. And also he's got a rocket for an arm. That's the thing about Mettenberger. He can definitely sling it, but he's a statue in the pocket. He can squeeze it in there between 3 to 4 defenders and make some incredible throws. But, you know, you put that heat on him, he's not going to be very mobile in the pocket. Now, Zach Mettenberger leads all quarterbacks in NFL and preseason to passing yards. So he's putting up some yardage throwing the football. And I definitely think he should jump past Charlie Whitehurst as a number two quarterback on that Tennessee Titans depth chart. So obviously there's still one preseason game left to play, and maybe Ken Whisenhunt, that's when he wanted to wait and does his true evaluation. But he's obviously looked a lot more impressive than Charlie Whitehurst. But I'm not ready to jump him past Jake Locker at the moment. But Mettenberger definitely has been very impressive in the preseason for the Tennessee Titans.
That's what I'm hearing, Rob. Why you gotta knock me down, man? I'm hearing word from the grapevine. Maybe from the fans. I don't know. Anyway, there he's getting a lot of love, man. That's what I'm saying. 7 minutes in the show. Let's talk about the Raiders. They've been voted the least desirable team to play for, and I don't think this is a huge shock, Rob. I just think it just goes to show you just how far the Raiders have fallen, sir, because back in the day, I mean, there's been a ton of people that went to the Raiders. They've resurrected their careers. I can name a lot of players. You had Al Davis just win, baby, and it was a sense of pride to become a Raider. I don't know if it's because of the whole change in the NFL, because they used to take a lot of cast-offs, and they were kind of like, that's okay, had that bunker mentality. But now it's kind of a sad state because you wanted for the Raiders to be good, Rob, but I don't know what's happening. Why do you think they've been voted least desirable to play? This is kind of a sad state of affairs.
Well, I just think, obviously, Al Davis, may he rest in peace. Obviously, there's been some management issues there with the Oakland Raiders. Now, I think all-time-wise, Al Davis has been one of the best owners. And he changed the complexity of the way the NFL game is played. He's one of the guys that introduced the vertical passing game to the game of the NFL. So that obviously he's meant a lot to the way the game is being played. But I think as he got older, of course, the Raiders have ran into some management issues. The stadium issue there is not the best. And there's been a lot of change back and forth between whether or not they're going to go back to L.A. Now there's some talk about them going to San Antonio. So it's just not a lot of stability within that organization at the moment. And I think that's one of the things that's scaring potential players from wanting to go there at the moment.
Yeah, it's just like you said, you nailed it right on the head. There's been a lot of management issues. They were set back drafting Jamarcus Russell. It's not a bad coaching hire. It just hasn't been a good, you know, like you talked about, good, I'm trying to think of the right word. I'm just so distraught about that. But it's very frustrating, to the least. But, I mean, hopefully they'll get it turned around. I think the NFL wants the Raiders to be good. You hear some rumblings, Rob, about a certain movement. But, you know, like I said, we'll kind of keep an eye on how that definitely plays out. But just sad state affairs, if I would say so about the Raiders, you know, to kind of become that laughing stock of the NFL right now.
Absolutely.
All right. I love it. We were able to kind of get the first part. We've got about 4 minutes left in the show, Rob. So I guess we do want to eventually get to some college football news, and like I said, we don't have to jump too deep into the fray. We got some college football. We're also going to end up with some NBA as well. But let's talk about some college football is going to be kicking off on Thursday. Very excited about that. And are there any sleeper teams you want to talk about for college football right now, or 10 sleeper teams you want to highlight before we go to the OT, sir?
Yeah, I'm going to name these 10 teams really quick. These are 10 teams you want to keep an eye on in college football to make a run in their conferences. Nebraska, Kansas State, you know, we're both a big Bill Snyder fans. He's going to have that team ready to play. Right now I'm still going to pick them third in the Big 12, but they're possibly sleeper teams that could leap past Oklahoma and Baylor. Michigan, watch them as well, very talented ball club. Ole Miss, another team with some great sophomore class. They're going to be very talented. Watch them in the SEC as well. With Robert Nkinchi, defensive end, probably one of the better defensive ends in college football. Virginia Tech, watched them there in the ACC. Central Florida, watch that team as well. They have a chance to go undefeated. Arizona State, remember this name, redshirt freshman quarterback, Anu Solomon. Watch Arizona State. Once again, redshirt freshman quarterback, Anu Solomon. A lot of people in America don't know who he is. We heard him here first. This is a guy that will be the next great Pac-12 quarterback. Louisville with your boy, the new head coach there,
Bobby
Louisville.
Pierre.
Yeah.
Bobby
Petrino.
Guy.
Also watch Mike Gundy's Oklahoma State team. Looks to be very good offensively as well. And also Washington. Watch them as well. These are 10 possible sleeper teams that you're not hearing a lot of people talk about in college football, but all 10 of these teams are equipped with possibly being sleeper teams in college football.
I like it, man. I love the fact that you named some teams. I'm not too crazy about Bobby Petrino and Louisville, too. I know they've been kind of feuding right now, word on the street, but, you know, it is what it is. Let's talk more or less. And I want to get some time in to talk about some other things, too, Rob, which I'm trying to get it out. We've got about 2 minutes, so you want to go ahead and set us up for the OC portion? And we'll keep moving with some college football games that's going to happen over the weekend.
Yeah, next week we're going to be on Wednesday night. We're going to be on Wednesday night, September 3rd on next week, so make sure you join us. We're going to be previewing the NFL season, previewing week two of college football as well, recapping week one of college football. So we have a lot to talk about next Wednesday night. That's going to be September 3rd, 11 Eastern, 10 Central. That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. for our good friends in Hawaii. Good night, people.
Yeah, that was quick. We got about a minute, so I know it was kind of – we don't have to go that fast. I love it. But, yeah, as Rob mentioned, we're going to be on the show next Wednesday. I'm excited because we have a lot of things to discuss. We're going to definitely have our fantasy drafts. We're going to have everything done for the week. So I may have one more draft for you too, Rob, because we got to keep D's War League alive too. So just one more draft to have fun in. But anyway, we definitely appreciate listening in. We appreciate you guys dealing with us. I know we had kind of a last-minute show tonight too, but we always are prepared. So we are going to kind of keep moving with college football, as well as jumping into some NBA talk, too. So the OT portion is going to be kicking off in a short second here. Don't forget to reach out, give us your feedback, and look forward to a great evening.
Good night, people.
Good night, people. All right, we are officially into the OT portion. And let's get into some college football predictions, Rob. Man, we are officially here. Let's kick it off. We've got number 21, Texas A&M, at number 9, South Carolina. So Johnny Football found his way on our show. But, Kevin Sumlin, what's going to happen in this game, Rob? Who's going to be the next quarterback to take over Johnny Manziel? In this particular instance, I think it's going to go to South Carolina only because of the atmosphere. What are your thoughts about this particular matchup, sir?
Yeah, I still don't know if Texas A&M got it together defensively to compete in the SEC against some of the elite teams. And so, obviously, I'm going to go with South Carolina being the home team. And I think we still have to wait and see what Kevin Sumlin has done at the quarterback position and to improve that defense. So I'm going to go with South Carolina.
Number 16, Clemson, at number 12, Georgia. This is big here right now. You know, they bring back Aaron Murray's gone, Hudson Mason's quarterback for Georgia. What are your thoughts on this game, Rob? Does Clemson have a chance to provide an upset?
Well, obviously Clemson is a talented ball club. Obviously they also are replacing their quarterback in Taj Boyd from last year as well. So it's they're in a transition as well in Clemson. Hudson Mason is a guy that's been with Georgia for a lot of years. I don't think he's going to be spectacular, but I think if he's a guy that can just be steady and don't turn the ball over, you got a great group of running backs there in Georgia and Todd Gurley. I think Georgia wins this game with the running game and defense and beat Clemson.
Just keep handing the ball off to Todd Gurley. You'll be fine, I think. Let's talk about the next game. It's going to be good for you, Rob. Number 14, Wisconsin. Number 13, Louisville. I'm sorry, LSU. Why am I thinking Louisville? This is a good matchup, Rob. LSU is pretty much evenly matched. I'd give this fight is LSU, obviously, because they are playing at home in this instance.
Yeah, actually playing on a neutral field in Houston, but it's still obviously a little closer to Baton Rouge than Wisconsin. I like LSU in this game as well. I think it's going to be pretty close. I think it's going to be about a 3-10 point victory for LSU. I think LSU definitely has the more talent, but I think the one concern if the LSU, a lot of their talent is you're going to be young. They're going to be relying on a lot of freshmen and sophomores to come out and really compete against a team that is pretty veteran late. And Wisconsin is a very good offensive line. But I think in the end, the talent and speed of LSU will take it home for the Tigers over Wisconsin.
Gotcha. These are some key matches we wanted to highlight for sure. Let's talk some NBA. And we were discussing a lot of things as far as it finally happened, Robin, that Kevin Love has been traded. And I guess the question is, who wins in this particular instance? Is this a coup? Is this a win? What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I'm going to go with something a little bit different here. I'm going to say the Timberwolves and the Cavs won this trade. And I'll tell you why. Obviously, the Cavs, this obviously puts them in a great opportunity. They have a chance to win a championship. When you look at this team, you got Kevin Love now. You have LeBron James. And you have Kyrie Irving. And you have some decent role players now. I think Dion Waiters is going to, reach another level of maturity by having somebody like LeBron James on their team. I think so will Kyrie Irving. And then I think you got guys that's going to be just hustling type players and Anderson Varejao, Tristan Thompson, these guys that can also help you. And then I think he's got some shooters now with Mike Miller, James Jones. You go out and you get a Sean Marion, even though he's up in age, I think he's still that slashing type player that's going to come in to help you. And I still expect this team to go out and sign Ray Allen, another shooter as well. So obviously, Cleveland wins with this Kevin Love situation. He can step it out and shoot it. He can post it. He can rebound it, as well as he's a good passer and good outlet passer. In Minnesota, obviously, you're losing a great player in Kevin Love. But I think, long term, this could be something really special for them because you get Anthony Bennett, I think a guy who's gotten better shape over the offseason. And he was the number one pick last year's draft. And then you get Andrew Wiggins, who I think is an extremely elite athlete, who I think, I don't think he's there yet, but I think he has superstar potential, Andrew Wiggins does, with the right development. So I think down the road, I think you can't argue with what the Minnesota Timberwolves got in return here.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's pretty surprising, too. They stuck their guns, Rob. They weren't going to re-sign Kevin Love. And I don't know if it was a trade if Kevin's going to re-sign with Cleveland. But, man, you kind of got a coup. You got a great talent. You know, you kind of get a chance to develop Andrew Wiggins. And that's good for the future, Rob.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Kevin Love has agreed to an extension with the Cavs for 5 years, $120 million, but he can't sign until next summer. But he's pretty much agreed in principle, but that deal cannot be signed until next summer after the season is over.
Good stuff. Let's give out. I can't believe Roderick said the Lakers. I'm just so tripped out about that, man. I'm just beside myself. Let's rank the top five big threes in the NBA, sir.
This is a very debatable question as well. Right now, we just talked about the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to go with them, with LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving. I think they have the best big three in the NBA right now. I think number two, you got to go with the OKC Thunder, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and Serge Ibaka. I'm going to put them at the number two position. Number three, I'm going to go with Chicago Bulls, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, and Pau Gasol now. Number four, Spurs. They won a championship, obviously, with Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker. Now, the Spurs probably have a better 1 through 10 than a lot of these teams. But as far as 1 through 3, I would put Cleveland up there. But when you look at 1 through 10 and 1 through 12, you know, you have to put Spurs at the top of that list. Number five, I'll go with the Clippers here. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan. Those are my top five big threes in the NBA right now.
Very, very interesting. We'll have to keep another pin in that, too, because I was going to say there's some people that are a little upset that you Miami Heat's pretty mad. I know Chris Bosh went on the call and said he's disappointed to put them on there, Rob, with Dwayne Wade. As well as, I'm just saying, Danny Granger, so they're pretty upset about you. So I'm just saying, that's why I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm giving him a hard time. Let's talk about the Timberwolves, or the Wolves trying to trade J.J. Barrera. Is there a team out there that you think that can help, he can help, Rob?
Well, we talked about this a little bit on last week's show. In regards to Eric Bledsoe, and I think the same can apply to J.J. Barrera, but maybe not as a starter, but I think these are teams that can still use some help at the point guard position. One team I did mention last week was the Detroit Pistons, and another team I mentioned was the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think the Thunder could use a team where you can slide Westbrook over to the two and let, you know, somebody else be the primary playmaker for your ball club and turn Westbrook into a slasher. I think OKC can really use a player like that that can help them possibly supplant the Spurs in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if J.J. Barrera is the exact answer, but, yeah, it would probably be good to have another primary ball handler to kind of take some things. I keep telling you that, I know as much as Westbrook is a talented player, I still think he needs to have an assist man to be feeding Kevin Durant, you know, as much as he can shoot, man. So that's my two cents on the issue too. But we'll agree, to defer on that one too. But I do want to kind of mention a quick thing before we talk about the eight playoff teams in the NBA. What do you think about the Heat not being interested in Michael Beasley any longer? Can he still play in the league, or what's happening with Beasley, man? You talk about a number two pick that just kind of like faded.
Yeah, you talk about a guy, when you watch this guy play at Kansas State in college. I'm not going to say I thought he was going to be an NBA All-Star, but I thought he was a guy that was going to be playing in the NBA for 10 to 15 years and be a pretty solid ball player. But I think the end is very near, And I don't think the talent is there. I don't think he's taking the game seriously. And I'll be really shocked if he's still in the NBA come next season.
Wow. Just how the talented have fallen. Let's talk about the 8 playoff teams that we've got in the NBA in the West and East, and we'll wrap up another edition of Talking Sports at 12. And we got about 5 minutes left in the show, Rob, too, just to let you know.
All right. This has been really tough, both the East and the Western Conference here. I'm going to start with the Eastern Conference first. At the number one spot, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they'll be the best team in the Eastern Conference. Number two, at the moment, I have the Chicago Bulls at the number two position. Number three, this one was 3, 4, and 5 was, and 6 was very tough in the Eastern Conference. But this is the way I kind of shaped it up being here. At the number three position, I'm going to go with the Toronto Raptors. I think getting Kyrie Irving, DeMar DeRozan, and this team back, I think their team on a rise. And I have them at the number three position. You may be pretty surprised here, but I actually had the Atlanta Hawks at the number four position. I think, you know, getting L. Horford back is going to be potentially putting them a very good front line together on that ball club. And so I had the Hawks at the number four position. Number five, I have the Washington Wizards, another team on the rise, probably have one of the better young backcourts in the league, John Wall, Bradley Beal, at the number five position. Number six, I have the Miami Heat, even though you lose LeBron James. I think Chris Bosh is going to have a more of a feature role. Still have Leo Aldean, and hopefully with Dwayne Wade committing to losing weight, you can get some of that explosiveness that he used to have as well. Number seven, even though a lot of people feel like this team is going to move up, I still have the Charlotte Hornets at the number seven position. I think they will be an improved team, but still going to remain in that number seven spot. Obviously, getting a player like Lance Stephenson is going to help them out a lot. Number eight in the final spot in the Eastern Conference is going to go to the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets, even though they're getting Brooke Lopez back, you lose Paul Pierce, so you lose you know, some of that experience. I had the Brooklyn Nets at the number eight spot. The Western Conference is also pretty tough because I think there are 11 teams capable of making the playoffs in the Western Conference, but only eight is going to get in, of course. Number one, I still have the Spurs in that top spot. They're going to be tough to beat. As usual, we just talked about them having the deepest roster in the NBA, and that's still the case. Number two, Oklahoma City, still right there. Number three, I got to go with the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, here's where it gets tricky in the Western Conference. 4 through 8 is extremely tough to decide. And so this is where things got extremely tricky, but I'm going to go with the Portland Trail Blazers at the number four position. LaMarcus Aldridge, Damian Lillard, I think these are guys that could possibly carry this franchise for quite some time, and Nick Batum as well. So this is a team to most certainly be on the lookout for. Number five, I like the Memphis Grizzlies at the number five spot. I think they still have a little bit left in the tank. Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol to make a run. You go out and get a Vince Carter. Number six, I like the Houston Rockets. Obviously, James Harden, Dwight Howard. Number seven, I got the Golden State Warriors. Stephen Curry, this is a team that I think takes one spot back. You lose Mark Jackson. I think you lose some of that consistency and continuity. I think they dropped to number seven. And I think number eight is a surprise, but not so much of a surprise. The New Orleans Pelicans will sneak into the playoffs with the rise of Anthony Davis and a healthy roster of Jrue Holiday, Eric Gordon, Tyreke Evans, and Ryan Anderson as well, and Omar Sheik as well.
Wow. Awesome, awesome, Rob. Now, I don't know if you can fit it in. We've got a minute here. Thank you for tuning in the show. If you want to set up real quick for next week, we've got about a minute here.
Next week, awesome Wednesday night, weekend. People, 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget us. We're going to be previewing week 2 college football, previewing week 1 NFL, recapping week one of college football. So you don't want to miss it, people. Join us next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great night.
Good night, people.